I'm Dale Behan, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Western Company of Texas. You're in the oil and gas business. You know how important it is to transfer water efficiently and timely to your completion job. That's where the Western Company of Texas can step in and be your partner. We've earned the reputation here in the Barnett Shale as a premier water transfer company because of our dedication to quality and service. We have the largest inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available to fit any and all of your water transfer needs. Plus, we can work with your team to secure water as well as rights of way. And finally, I can promise you that we will always be ready to go 24/7. So give us a call at 940-648-3434. That's 940-648-3434. We have locations in Cleveland, Fort Worth, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Give our dedicated water transfer team a call at 940-648-3434. The Western Company of Texas, the guys with the green pumps.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway, as always, we'd like to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. Send some Twitters in. That's right. Join us at Twitter/eradiosports. And I have to share, it is always a pleasure when we have the opportunity to visit with one of the best golf teaching professionals in the business. And that, of course, is Patrick Livingston, the CEO of National Golf Schools. He has over 100 locations nationwide. He's been on our program many, many times, a PGA professional. And Pat, it's great to have you along with us. I hope you enjoyed and had a wonderful 4th of July weekend.
You know, it's wonderful to be with you. Believe it or not, traveled up to Hilton Head for the 4th of July weekend, played golf all 3 days. I know you find that surprising, but there's a ton of good golf courses up there, and we had a great time.
Well, it's interesting. Do you ever, 12 months out of the year, are you always playing golf? You know, I know that this is a big part of your life. Do you ever take any time off, Pat?
You know, it is rare. My vacations are figuring out how to get to the Ryder Cup and spend a few days in Scotland, or maybe, heading up to see one of the major championships up at Whistling Straits. Pretty much wrapped up in the golf, but it's a it's phenomenal life, and golf dominates my life.
And of course, you are based out of Florida. Now, is that the Tampa, Florida area? I know that that's where you have been this past week.
Yeah, I'm in Tampa now. We kind of function between Tampa and Orlando. In Orlando, we're at the Reunion Resort, which is 2,200 acres of golf and fun, three great golf courses, and that's where we're based.
I'm curious, before we start talking about the British Open that is just less than 1 week away, you've been to so many courses throughout, not only nationally, but internationally. Where is your favorite? What's the hot spot, the place that you got to go if you love the game of golf and have a passion and an affinity for it?
You know, there are so many good courses. We've been out to, Bandon Dunes out in Oregon. What a wonderful place to, do golf, play golf. Had occasion to go out to the Monterey Peninsula and play Pebble Beach and Spyglass. There's just a ton of golf courses in this country that are, just top of the line. If we're in Florida, I'd like to go over to Innisbrook, play at Copperhead. It's they have a PGA event there each year. Just some great golf courses around.
Momentarily, we are going to be talking about your National Golf Schools, the 100 locations, I say nationwide, but also you have 4 locations internationally, and we're going to direct our listeners, our listening audience, to your website so they can check some of that out, and also the Women's National Golf School, which they've got some great stuff on there too. But since I said, we are 1 week away from the start of the British Open at St. Andrews in Scotland next week, and it just continues. I think the last time you were on the show, we were talking about Tiger Woods. That is the headline. He still seems like he's trying to strike the right balance between his private life and golf before gearing up for the British Open. I guess he's not going to be, playing this weekend. He's returning home to spend more time with his children. I guess my question to you, Patrick Livingston, is his perspective, is it starting to change? I'm not saying that golf's becoming more trivial, but he's having to make some major adjustments in his personal life, isn't he?
I think so, too. And I think it, you know, he's got so many issues to settle there, as you know, going through a divorce. And, you know, the latest figure on their divorce settlement was $750 million going to his wife, which was an astronomical divorce figure, you know, not even close to anything in the past. I think that Michael Jordan, the wife, received $134 million in their divorce settlement. So needless to say, golf being a mental game, you have to have your mental capacities focused on golf and not on lawyers and what's going on in courts. And it's showing, you know, it's taken its toll. And as we talked about before, he's lost his coach of the last 6 years, Hank Haney. He's now trying to go out there and be his own coach while playing the tour. And there is there's nobody out there. Every player on the tour has a has a swing instructor, has a coach, generally has a fitness guru working with them. Tiger's trying to go it alone, and it's a tremendous, daunting task. And I think it's showing in his golf, even though he's finished, you know, in the top 10 in majors. The difference of winning and finishing in the top 10 is the mental side of the golf game.
Well, Tiger Woods certainly going through a lot of turbulence right now, of course, talking about the divorce with his wife, Elin. But I think the other big breakup is, as you had just mentioned, talking about that Hank Haney resigning as Tiger Woods' swing coach. And this was the day after Woods had withdrew from the Players' Championship. Why was the breakup?
Well, I think Hank, you know, it said it very specifically. It's frustrating. It was chaos from the beginning for the full 6 years. And it just came to a head after that, and he stepped away. And as a matter of fact, he had sent him a like a 4 or 5 page evaluation of his swing and what happened, you know, at the Masters. And he never even got an email back from Tiger, never got a phone call back from him. I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And several days later, he texted Tiger, told him that their relationship was at an end, followed up with a phone call. And that's how that happened.
Well, you have to wonder how big of an impact that this will have on his game. I mean, Hank Haney, when you talk about him, you've been in this business a long time, Pat. I mean, this is a renowned teacher for over 30 years. Many folks on the tour have so much respect for what he has done for the game. I mean, he's coached over, 200 pros on different tours.
Yes, he has. And Hank Haney just, he gave his total commitment to Tiger Woods. Over that you know, six-year period, he taught, he had no full-time PGA pro other than Tiger Woods. He worked with Ben Curtis for a very short time because he had a personal relationship with Curtis's manager, but he basically committed himself to Tiger. And he talked about he never really knew when he was going to have to fulfill that commitment. Tiger never gave him a schedule of where he's going to be or what his time schedule was. Simply it'd be a phone call, and Hank was, you know, expected to react and be on scene for the next lesson or next session. That's a heck of a way to go through 6 years of working with Tiger Woods.
Well, I thought it was personally very interesting. I mean, Hank Haney, he came out, and his words were that his relationship with him was irregular, distant, as you're alluding to and talking about. But the bottom line is that it was a relationship with his swing coach that was dysfunctional.
Yeah, that's really true. That's really true. And it, you know, he talked about, you know, as a pro, and teaching a pro that quality, you have to, you know, give him a lot of information, explain what you're trying to do, let him you know, digest that, and then come up with this is the way to go. And it you know, it was difficult. He would send again 3 and 4 and 5 page emails and get no response back. And from a teaching standpoint, it's difficult to see whether your student is grasping the concept that you're trying to get across, what he's going to do to try to incorporate that into his swing. And basically, you know, Hank's philosophy is very simple. He simply wants to get your golf swing on plane. If you're too steep in your golf swing, he tries to bring it down a little bit to get it on plane. If you're too flat in your golf swing, he tries to bring it up to get it on plane. That was, you know, there's a lot of more intricate and, you know, I guess more difficult things you could describe that, but that's basically his philosophy, and that's what you know, he brought to Tiger.
Well, and it sounds, too, you know, when you have such a high-profile player like Tiger Woods, you know, as a coach, that's just got to wear you down. I mean, if it's so unpredictable in terms of your relationship and when you're going to catch up with this guy and when he'll respond. And, I mean, Hank Haney's, like I said, he's a professional that deserves a lot of respect. I mean, let's not forget what a great job he did rebuilding Marco Mara's swing.
Oh, that's right. And that goes way back. and rebuilt that. And the mayor picked up two majors, Masters and the British Open in the same year, when Haney was working with him. And same with Tiger. Tiger's stats and facts over the last 6 years were as good or better than in the previous years, and that it's kind of lost in the shuffle that he played tremendous golf 2 years ago. He had won seven tournaments in a row. That hadn't happened. I think the record for that was back during the war. Byron Nelson won nine in a row, but just phenomenal results.
We're continuing to talk about Tiger Woods, and joining us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show is Patrick Livingston, PGA Professional CEO of National Golf Schools. We do want to pause and direct you guys, while you're listening to us online and listening to us on the radio, you can join us online at nationalgolfschool.com, nationalgolfschool.com. Let's continue with our conversation. Tiger Woods, a three-time British Open champion, and we know this, Pat, he loves the Scottish Coastal Course. I mean, he's got a legitimate shot, don't you think, to try to win this year's tournament? I mean, would you assess his game at this point?
Absolutely. I mean, that golf course is made to open for him. For his play, it's wide open. Greens are fast. And probably more than anything else, and this gets lost a little bit in talking about Tiger Woods, he is such has a creative mind. So you have to have a lot of bump and run shots. You have to be very, very creative when you play the seaside courses in Scotland, and especially at St. Andrews. And he does it better than anyone. He just loved St. Andrews. He had a great tournament in 2005. He had a kind of a duel with Montgomery, and even Duval played pretty well. He ended up winning by a number of shots. But it's how he attacks the course. In 2005, his biggest concept, how he wanted to play that course, is to avoid the 110 bunkers that St. Andrews has. And he went out there for four rounds of golf, did not hit one bunker, accomplished that goal. And really, it was an easy, British Open win for him.
Can you expand a little bit more as far as, I like what you said there, your verbiage, he attacks the course. What do you mean by that?
Well, you go back to, say, the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach 11 years ago, okay? He made it a priority to get the ball in play to avoid the rough for that tournament, and he hit a 3-iron. He hit a stinger 3-iron about 230, 240 yards off the tee on the vast majority of the holes. During that tournament, he used the driver only one time during each of the rounds, and ended up setting a U.S. Open for winning by 12 shots. So he attacks the course differently than anybody else, because he has more shots in his repertoire than any other pro out there, and he chooses the best shot from that arsenal to attack the course, and that's clearly what he did. And just like the British Open, He had the ability to avoid every bunker out there. And if you avoid the bunkers at St. Andrews, that's one of the major things that protects that course is the bunkers. I mean, and the wind and the rain and the hard greens. But the bunkers are a distinctive part of that course, and he just took them out of play.
What makes Tiger so special? I mean, what do you think his mindset is when he goes into these tournaments? Of course, he always talks about, I don't just go to finish, second or third. I'm going to win. Is it a matter of just, segmenting each shot that he's taking? Or how does he do that for someone that, doesn't follow, perhaps is tuning in and doesn't follow the game of golf? Why does he consistently, you're talking about top 10 finishes, but still, even what he's been doing, considering in light of what all he's had to endure and go through, it really is remarkable.
Well, he's having problems. Know that, but he's still the absolute number one player in the world, has been for 10 years. He has more shots than any other pro out there. He has the distance when he needs it. He can reach back and get 25, 30 more yards. He is an incredible putter. He feels that he can make every putt that he stands over. And again, he has golf shots from a creative nature that nobody else has out there. And he has the mental capacity to totally focus on what he's doing out there. Takes it shot by shot, determines which is the best shot to execute, and nine times out of ten, he executes that shot. And there's an aura out there. It's starting to change a little bit, but generally, he creates such an image, such a dominance on the course that other players are aware of that, and they let that affect their game. So he's attacking it from a lot of different areas.
Patrick Livingston is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Hey, we have got to take time to recognize our premier corporate sponsor and partner. That is the friends at Western Company of Texas. Join them online on their brand new website. It's wct.us.com, wct.us.com. And of course, Patrick Livingston is along with us. You know, you talk about just how mentally tough really the Tiger Woods is and how he attacks the course. This may seem like kind of a silly question, but what about his flexibility? I mean, because that plays a very big part into the game of golf. Can you talk about that?
Well, he's the best conditioned athlete out there. He looks like, a defensive cornerback from some NFL team.
Yeah, good point.
Tremendously strong, incredibly flexible, okay? And he works on it every day. He never stops working on that aspect of the golf swing, golf game. So incredibly flexible, incredibly strong, and that plays into his strengths also.
How much time do you think he spends before he gets out on the course? Because golf, as I'm finding, with our little son playing it, I mean, I really talk to him a lot about how important flexibility is and stretching and making sure that you are warming up properly before you get into that tee box and you get out there. What would you say to that?
Well, I think that, especially for younger players, they need to work on their golf-specific muscles. And basically, that's core muscles. The stronger your abs are, the less apt you're going to have some back problems. You work on strengthening your back. That's incredibly important in the golf swing. But again, it's a matter of getting stretching exercises to go along with your strength building. And Tiger does it to the nth degree. Most pros out there do it some, and all juniors who are serious about golf. They've got to consider working it into their, their daily activities.
So are you doing like 1,000 crunches a day, Patrick Livingston?
Well, I'm up to 19 now, okay? But I am gaining on it.
Okay. I didn't mean to digress there for a moment. Okay, let's get back talking about the British Open. Okay, so why is David Toms, he's withdrawing, and this is not the first time that he's ever done that. He did that, I guess, in 2006 and 2008. What's wrong with David Toms?
Well, he's had a lot of serious medical injuries. He had fainting spells at one time. They had heart palpitations that they couldn't really figure out what was going on. So he's had an ongoing medical problem over the last, couple years. Taking that transatlantic flight, trying to prepare for a major tournament is difficult under perfect conditions. But when you're not 100% physically fit, it's probably a good idea that he passed.
And, of course, our big Boomer Sooner guy from the University of Oklahoma, Anthony Kim, is also going to be out.
That is strange because Anthony has, he's gotten his weight down, his strength up, his flexibility up, and really got himself into incredible shape over the last couple of years. And, he got nicked up again. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to cause a little problem. If you've got a little stiffness in the neck, as we saw with Tiger, that can tremendously affect your game. It just takes a small, tweak to affect your overall golf game.
Patrick Livingston's along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Now we're going to shift avenues. We're going to talk about national golf schools. My goodness, every time I talk to you, I mean, those numbers just continue to rise. You are now, congratulations, in triple digits, 100 locations nationwide, 4 international locations. Talk to us about what's going on. I mean, a lot of momentum and excitement right now.
It really is. We've added a couple great locations. I mentioned I was up in Hilton Head playing golf over the 4th of July weekend. Well, I was doing some work also. We've opened and developed 2 new locations in Hilton Head. One is the Golden Bear Golf Course. It's a tremendous Nicholas course. It has everything you want in what a golf course has to offer. Great par fives, a lot of water, bunkers. We've got great lodging, on-course lodging there. And then a second location, and I need to talk to you about this. This is one of our more unique locations. It's called Old Field Country Club. It's just outside of Hilton Head. It's on the Savannah River. And it is a private club, just an incredibly private club. And it's a Norman course. So you've got a nice, difficult, interesting golf course. But they've got a fishing club that's part of that. So you can do 2 days of a golf school, then either go deep sea fishing or freshwater fishing.
Wow.
You'll have tour guides with you. If you want to take a ride up the Savannah River, a nice 45-minute ride into Savannah, you'll take in the riverfront of Savannah, come back to that. They've got equestrian. facilities. You can ride horses. It's really an incredible kind of a golf resort, golf school, and really looking forward to, you know, offering that to people, and it'd be great for the family, great for serious golfers. It's just a great, great location.
And there are so many different National Golf School locations. How in the world do you figure out which one is good for you? Because, and the thing too is, I mean, a lot of folks, when they are signing up for your golf schools, it's not a matter of just a vacation. I mean, they really do want to improve their game and take it to the next level.
I tell you, every location has at least one outstanding golf course, some two, three, or four outstanding golf courses. The range areas are state-of-the-art, working on all your short game, full swings, every aspect of that. There is, on the vast majority, is on-course lodging, which means you'll have a condo or a home on the golf course, which is really, really convenient. So you get all the good things you want out of a golf school with some great amenities to go with it. If you need a massage or some spa treatment, you know, that's it also. So we really offer a wide range of amenities to go along with a great golf course, great teaching, and working on your game.
You say the operative word, teaching. Talk to us about the teaching philosophy, because we know every person is different in terms of their strength, their flexibility, their dexterity, and, you know, even the physical characteristics. What is that teaching philosophy?
Yeah, it absolutely is. We teach each individual, individualistic. We're not a method school where we try to have everyone swing the same way. So you have to work with them individually. You may have a flatter swing plane or a steeper swing plane. That may be what your body needs, and that's okay. We work with that. And we take the physical attributes that you have and make them as fundamentally sound as we can to make you a consistent golfer. If we can get you, you know, fundamentally sound, you're going to be able to make a good golf swing. But more importantly now, you're going to be able to repeat that swing and, you know, have a great round of golf.
And I know that we've talked about this in the past. What's really sweet about your golf schools is just that teacher ratio, 4-to-1 to student for teacher ratio. Is that around that?
We have a 4-to-1 ratio of teacher to student, but also we have 2-to-1 ratios for a small upcharge. You can have a 2-for-1, or you can actually have, now I know you find this hard to believe, you can actually have your own PGA pro with yourself for the full golf school, 3 hours instruction in the morning, 9-hole playing lesson in the afternoon. For the entire length of your golf, you know, school, for just a few dollars more.
So what is, you know, someone's listening, they're going to, you know, look at a place, pinpoint a place online where they would like to go. What would be a typical day of school like?
Well, it is. You'd meet us at the pro shop at 9 o'clock. We'd get to know your strong points of your swing, the weak points, what you want to work on. Go out to the range. It'd be a half full swing, okay? Half would be full swing, where you'd work on your grip, stance, posture, takeaway, dynamic balance, work on all those important parts of the swing. But more importantly, we spend an equal amount of time on your short game. We work on your putting. And when you think about it, putting is half of your score. 36 putts is, you know, the average strokes for a round of golf. The other 36 are your hits to get to the green. So we spend a lot of time on putting, the basic fundamentals of that. We go to chipping and pitching. People have a difficult time with chips and pitches because they try to combine those two. There are distinct characteristics of what a good chip is, and there's the same distinct characteristics to what a pitch is. So we work on those fundamentals. We go to our bunker play. A lot of our bunker students have a fear of the bunker. Well, pros like to say the bunker's your friend because it's consistent. You have consistent ground to hit off of or sand to hit off of. So we work on greenside bunkers. We work on fairway bunkers. Then we move up to a lot of the aspects of trouble shots, how to hit a ball low, how to hit a ball high, how to hook the ball intentionally, how to slice the ball intentionally. So we spend that morning working on all those aspects of the game, get a bit of lunch, and go out to a playing lesson. And what we do is we play with the students on that round of golf, hit shots they may not have hit before, talk about why we're hitting a particular shot, really try to manage them around the golf course to accomplish the best score they can.
And Patrick, now we have a very strong following in terms of the demographic with our female listeners, our listening audience, and as I understand, I'd love for you to share a little bit about, as far as the women's national golf schools, I mean, this is really cool.
What we've done, we've taken the top 30 locations we have, all great locations that are women-friendly, great golf courses, spa amenities, good ranges, restaurants, and things that appeal to the women golfer over and above just playing 9 or 18 holes. We have LPGA pros that are available for teaching if the women want specific women instructors, or obviously you can have one of our male PGA pros too. So we try to cater to what their needs are. And I tell you, the women golf, their percentages are growing. We're at probably 25% to 30% of our students are now women golfers, and we're getting more and more. And we're enjoying it, and hopefully they are.
I'm just kind of curious, are you ever going to do anything with junior golfers? Because I have to tell you, the one thing that I've learned living here in the Metroplex and in the state of Texas is, I mean, it is a very big deal, these junior golfers out here.
Hey, we absolutely are. As a matter of fact, I'm in Tampa. We're meeting with an exercise physiologist now and putting together a junior program actually coming out of Korea. He is Korean-based, and what we're trying to do is bring juniors over here for a month or 2 or 3 months at a time, provide all the golf teaching, but have a serious, physical training, golf-specific, for these juniors. That is what we're actually working on. My trip to Hilton Head, need to tell you this, put together a program with an academy in Hilton Head. It's a year-round academy where you have, we have five cottages, 2,700 square feet. You'll have a teacher as your den mother there, and you'll get a great education for a year. You get a great education, all your golf, all your PGA, pro training, all encompassed into a one-year program. Of interest, people that have graduated from the academy, 100% have gone on to college. And we're working on college scholarships for that. We have a younger junior program, in the 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 area that is less intense than that. But we're working on that, and it's a fun area.
It's amazing just how far the game of golf continues to grow. Patrick Livingston has been along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Again, go to their websites, nationalgolfschool.com and womensnationalgolfschool.com. And as we get ready to wrap it up, I know my little guy is going to be tuning in today, my little boy. What tips do we have for the short game? We're always looking for that silver bullet.
Okay, the short game is important. Probably the biggest tip I'm going to have to junior golfers out there, never give up. We all hit shots that aren't perfect. Find that golf ball and make the best swing you can, and continue to do that. Just never ever give up. Okay. And I think with the short game, again with chipping, you always want to use the least amount of club as you can. A lot of my juniors will take a sand wedge and try to, take a quarter of a swing, fly it 20, 30 feet onto the green, 3 or 4 feet away from the flag. Well, that's a low percentage shot. Drop down to that 8-iron or drop down to that 6-iron. Chip the ball, 10 feet and let it roll 40 feet to the flag, higher percentage golf shot. So juniors, think about taking the least amount of loft to accomplish your short game shot.
Well, and the other thing, too, is many times, when you have such a young child, our son is 8 years old, we talk to him about that golf is any sport. Golf is not a game of perfection. The ball isn't always going to go the way you want it to. And like you had just said, that's perfect. You never give up. You got to keep going.
No, that's true. And on that errant shot, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to make another great shot, to make par.
Yes.
And, you've made a situation where your opponent is shocked by that, and you're actually coming out ahead when you make that great save.
Patrick Livingston's been with us, the PGA Professional CEO of National Golf Schools. Go to nationalgolfschool.com, and this radio interview will be posted at eradiosports.com. Click on ePodcasts, and of course you can listen to this and find out more information. Pat, thank you so much for joining us this weekend. We appreciate your time. As always, you do a great job. Thank you, sir.
Great talking to you. Always enjoy that.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Tim Bishop is going to be joining us with Alumni Football USA here in just a moment.